Toddsville Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nybert. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nybert.
I want to preach this morning on the God that is. The God that is. We're going to look at the prayer of the early church. And in this prayer, they describe the God that is. Peter and John had been arrested the day after Pentecost for healing a man that was lame from birth. And they were arrested because they did it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so at the time of this prayer, it's only 2 or 3 days after Pentecost, and a great number of people had been saved, at least 5,000 people during this time. And we read their prayer after Peter and John were released. The Pharisees were afraid to keep them incarcerated because the people were so enamored with the fact that this man had been healed, who they knew had been lame from birth. So let's read this prayer together, and then I want to preach on this subject, the God that is. Beginning in verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders said unto them. And when they heard that, the church, these newborn believers, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David, and he quotes Psalm 2, has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. That word determined before is the word that's generally translated predestinated. They did what you had predestinated to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, demonstrating the power of God, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And God answered their prayer. They spake the word of God with boldness. Now, from this remarkable prayer given by the early church that showed such depth of understanding after only 2 or 3 days being saved, and the only thing that can account for that is the fact that God had revealed himself to them, and they now knew the living God. Our Lord said in John chapter 17, verse 3, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. These people had God revealed to them, and they knew who he was. Every believer knows God. Now, God's isness is not determined by man's thoughts. God is as He is. No apologies. God is as He is, and this great God is described as He is in this prayer of the early church. Now, here's the first thing I want to point out, verse 24. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. God that is, has a people, every single believer, and they are unanimous concerning His isness. They are of one accord. All believers believe the same thing. They're at one accord regarding His isness. There is no jarring chord of discontent to mar this heavenly melody. All of God's people are at one accord concerning His isness. You know, in what is called Christianity, you have all these denominations and all these divisions and all these different sects and all claiming to have a perhaps more accurate view of the truth than the other denomination. But did you know that there are no denominations in the Bible? That's a purely man-made thing. Baptists, Presbyterians, Methodists, Catholic Church, Church of Christ, all that is man-made. All of God's people are at agreement. They're of one accord concerning God's isness. Now let's go on reading, verse 24. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord. Now the word Lord here is where we get the word despot from. It's not the word that's generally translated Lord. The word here means one who has absolute authority to do His will. This Lord is a single entity that has absolute power and authority. There's no law over His head. Whatever He wills is what takes place. This is speaking of the sovereignty of God, the sovereignty of the Lord Jesus Christ. A despot is one who exercises absolute sovereignty. He has no checks and balances. His will is always done. Do you hear what I said? His will is always done. His will is never thwarted. He is absolutely sovereign. He doeth according to His will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and there none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? Now the God that is the God who is absolutely sovereign. I think it's glorious the way Peter began this sermon on Pentecost with these words, Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. This is all according to His will. God's will is always done because He's God. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. Now the God that is a God of absolute sovereignty who always performs His will. He's got the power, He's got the right, and He always does this. And any God that is not like this God, a God who's absolutely sovereign in control of everything, the cause of causes, any God that's not like this God is a false God. It's an idol. It's the figment of man's imagination. Because the God that is the God that's the absolute Lord in control of all things, whose will is always done. He's not up in heaven wringing His hands because people are not doing His will. He is an absolute, regal, sovereign control. That is the God that is. Now let's go on reading. Verse 24, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Now, the God that is the God who created all things from nothing. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, there was a time when there was no matter. There was no universe. All there was God in the solitude of His glorious person as Father, Son, and Spirit. And He created the universe from nothing. Now, I realize some very highly intelligent people claim to be atheists. They think that the belief in God or the creation is contrary to science. They think it's superstitious. They think it's irrational to believe in the existence of God or that God created the universe. But they didn't always believe that way. You see, everybody is born into this world knowing intuitively that somebody made all of this, and nobody made him. Everything has to have a cause. The universe didn't just pop up. Life didn't just somehow begin and arrive out of some primordial stew. Everybody knows that somebody made this, and nobody made him. He's all-powerful. He's eternal. There has to be a cause. Now, atheism is its own religion with its own beliefs, but it is irrational, illogical, and intellectually indefensible. The God that is the God that created the universe from nothing. And let's go on reading. In verse 25, they say, the church is still at prayer, and they say, "Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said." Now here they quote Psalm 2, a part of the scriptures, and they say, when David said this, it was God speaking through David. Now here's the point. The God that is the God that speaks through the scriptures. Now everybody knows that God exists. But not everybody knows what He's like. Because we cannot understand, we can't figure out what He's like unless He reveals what He's like through His Word. The Bible is the inspired Word of God, and God speaks through this book. Now, if I've taken the blind leap of faith into atheism, of course I'm going to not believe the Bible is the Word of God. But if I believe that God created the universe from nothing, I have no trouble believing that God inspired men to write a book, and He's able to keep it preserved through the centuries. The Scripture claims divine inspiration. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The God that is, and the only way we'll know His isness is from the Word. The God that is the God that speaks from the Scriptures, and God is not known apart from the Scriptures. Now here's the next thing I want to say in verse 25. Who by the mouth of thy servant David said, why did the heathen rage? And the people imagine vain things. The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, that's the entire populace, were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and counsel determined before to be done. Now, the God that is the God that all of mankind is against. Why did the heathen rage against Him? Why do the people imagine a vain thing of escaping from Him? Everyone is against the God that is. The Scripture says the carnal mind, Romans 8:7, the fleshly mind, the mind that we're born with. The carnal mind is enmity against God, the God that is. Now there is a God that nobody's mad at. There is a God over whom we can exercise some control. A God whose will can be thwarted by our free will. His will is not necessarily done. A God that we can please by our works and efforts. Now that God, nobody's mad at. A God you can control, a God you can manipulate, a God you can cause to do certain things, a God who has to respond to you. Nobody's mad at that God. But that God is a non-existent God. The God that is the God that humanity is opposed to. Because men do not like God as He is. They don't like His holiness. They don't like His sovereignty. They don't like His way of salvation by grace. They don't like the glory of His Son. They don't like His attributes. And they say, we will not have this man to reign over us. They're against the God that is. But He does reign, whether you and I like it or not. He's in complete control over everybody and everything. Now the God that is, let's go on reading. Verse 26, the kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers together against the Lord and against His Christ, for of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed. The God that is has a holy child, Jesus. God the Son, the Creator of the universe, God's prophet anointed, God's priest anointed, and God's anointed King. The God that is one God in three persons, and He has a holy Son, the eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ, God's anointed, His holy child. Now, when God said, let us make man in our own image, this is speaking of the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Trinity is seen in the very beginning. And His Son is His anointed. Now, what that means is, His Son is the prophet. His Son is the priest. His Son is the King. He's the prophet. He is the Word of God, and He's the one who brings the Word of God to us. He's God's priest. If He represents you, you must be saved. When He said of Peter, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. You know what? Peter's faith didn't fail. Now, everything else failed about him, and he was left with nothing but faith, but that's all that's required. If He prays for you, if He represents you, wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. And He's God's King, ruling and reigning. And a believer needs Him in all of his offices. I need Him as my prophet to bring me the Word of God. I need Him as my priest to represent me before God. I need Him as my King to rule and reign over me and cause me to do His will. We need Him in that sense. He is the God that is. He has a Son, His holy child, Jesus, whom He has anointed. Now, if you're going to come to the God that is, the only way you're going to get there is through His holy child, Jesus, His anointed. The Lord said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. This is the God that is. Now let's go on reading. For of a truth, verse 27, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Now listen carefully. The God that is the God of absolute predestination. When they drove the nails in the hands and the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were simply doing what God had predestinated to be done. The God that is the God of absolute predestination. For Whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now, if my God is not the God of absolute predestination, I'm worshiping a false God. I might as well worship a totem pole. If you don't believe the God of absolute predestination, you might as well be worshiping a totem pole, because your God is non-existent. The God that is the God of absolute predestination. Now, I realize people object to predestination. They say, well, that makes men God's puppet. No, if you believe that God is not a God of absolute predestination, if you believe men have a free will and can get God to do this and get God to do that, you make God man's puppet. The God that is the God of absolute predestination. And what is it that he predestinated? Well, Christ is called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Do you know the whole universe was created for the cross? The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is not God's response to man's sin and man's fall. The fall was all according to the predestinating purpose of God for the glory of his dear Son and the accomplishments of the cross. Thank God, before there was ever a sinner, there was a Savior. Christ came according to the predetermined counsel and foreknowledge of God to save his people from their sins, and that's exactly what he did. That is what was purposed from the foundation of the world. He says, to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Now, through this work on the cross, chosen sinners have been predestinated to be perfectly conformed to the image of Christ, and they will be called, they will be justified, they will be glorified. The God that is the God of absolute predestination. And let's go on reading verse 29. And now, Lord, behold, the God that is the God that beholds. He's not a detached God. He's not a far-off God. He is the God who beholds. All things are naked and open with the one in whom we have to do. The Lord looked down from heaven. He's always looking. He's always seeing. Thou, God, seest me. He sees you right now as I'm speaking. He is the God who beholds. And we read in verse 29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that they may speak thy word with all boldness. Grant. He is the God who grants. Not only does he behold, but he gives. He grants. Not as a payment, but as a free gift. Because this God is gracious, and he delights to give. He gave his Son that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He is the God that gives. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. He gives faith, he gives repentance, he gives a new heart. He is the God who gives. Ask him to give to you. Well, in verse 30, he says, grant them that with all boldness they may speak thy word. He's the God that's to preach boldly, not timidly, not apologizing for him. What I'm preaching, this God I'm preaching, I'm proud of him. I'm proud of the gospel. It's a gospel worthy of God. And I'm not going to hold back on this out of the fear that somebody's going to get upset. This is who God is. God is the God that is. And he says in this prayer, by stretching forth thine hand to heal. By stretching forth thy hand to heal. Now, the God that is the God who stretches forth his hand to heal. Now, there is a great emphasis placed upon physical healing. If you're sick, you want to be healed, and you're interested in being healed. Nobody wants to be sick. And God does heal. I personally have had cancer twice. I've had lymphoma, I've had esophageal cancer, and God didn't let me die. Through the use of means, I was healed. Through the use of means, and the reason I was healed was because it wasn't my time to go. But, my dear friend, something's going to get me. It may be that I have the disease in my body right now from which I will not be healed. We're all going to die of something. So people put all this emphasis on physical healing. Well, I'm thankful for physical healing, and God does heal through the use of means, through doctors, you know, they that hold that need not a physician, but they that are sick. God does heal. I've been healed. I believe that. But this is not what Peter's talking about. What I need to be healed of is my sin. That's the disease that I need to be delivered from, my sin, my sin. I can't do anything about my sin. But we read in 1 Peter 2:24, who bare our sins in his own body upon the tree. And the next verse says, by whose stripes you were healed. Now, healing from sin comes from the cross, the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, my sin became his sin, and he suffered the wrath of God when my sin became his sin, and he paid the penalty against sin. And through his stripes, Scripture says, I'm healed. It says, by whose stripes you were healed. I love that. When he said, it is finished, I was healed. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. This is the God who does signs and wonders. Now, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. You're looking at a sign and wonder of God. I am so sinful. I am so evil by nature. I am a testimony to the freeness and the power of his grace. I'm a trophy of his grace. I'm a demonstration of just how much salvation really is all of the Lord. I am, every believer feels this about themselves, I am a sign and a wonder. And all these signs and wonders are done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Salvation is for Christ's sake. The God that is the God who saves through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with power, that God that is the God that hears and answers prayer. Now, we have this message on DVD, CD. If you call the church or email or write, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Nybert praying that God will be pleased to make himself known to you. That's our prayer. Amen.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com. Or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.